When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck, and there's Josh, the other Josh, and this is Short Stuff. Did I say that already?
I don't know.
Enough talk, Chuck. Let's get to it. We're talking today about a man who is shamefully, or was shamefully, overlooked by history, starting to get his due finally, named Aristide de Souza Mendes do Amaral e Branches. I think I came awfully close. My Portuguese is a little rusty, seeing as how I've never spoken a word of it in my life.
And not bad. We can call him the Portuguese Oscar Schindler, and that should give you a good idea of where this episode is headed.
Okay. Aristide de Souza Mendes, we're just going to leave it at that, by the time 1938 rolled around, had become a career diplomat for Portugal. He was trained as a lawyer, and by the time he was assigned to Bordeaux, France in 1938, he had been all over the world. He was definitely a senior diplomat in the diplomatic corps for Portugal.
That's right. So in 1938, like you said, he was in France. Mm-hmm. World War II comes knocking on his door. Germany invades Poland. And Portugal was like, I really, like, we're Portuguese. We're not into this World War stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got the memo, but we'd like to remain sort of neutral and happy over here growing olives and drinking wine. And so we're gonna distribute this thing called Circular 14 that basically says, all of our consuls all over the world, you need to deny travel into Portugal for refugees. We don't like that you're being persecuted, but we want to stay out of this as much mm-hmm. as possible, mm-hmm. A.K.A. we don't want to make Hitler mad. So we're not going to take your refugees, including the Jewish people.
Right. And this is the Circular 14. It got sent out to all consulates in Europe. And that was supposed to be that. But this came at like a time, Chuck, when there were, apparently the New York Times estimated something between 6 and 10 million people moving around Europe because chaos was just starting to brew as Germany invaded Poland and then invaded France. It was pushing and displacing a lot of people around who were trying to get out of here. And I looked up, like, that's a pretty big number, but like, what is it in today's terms? In Germany, 10 million people move around the country a year on their train system. In a year, this was like at once there were 6 to 10 million people moving around, and they were moving around chaotically. But again, Portugal said, no, we're not taking part in this. Just stand there motionless, silent, and don't do anything. They're going to have to figure out a different way. And if Germany gets them well, then that's too bad. And this Aristide de Souza Mendes said, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, so he's in southern France, so that was a hot spot for these refugees because they were thinking we can, from there, just go into Spain, then right into Portugal.
Right. That's what Lauren Bacall did in Casablanca. She flew to Lisbon.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think they could fly into Lisbon at the time.
Yeah, they could. She hops on a plane at the end.
Well, she did.
Right, sure. Oh, you're saying the people who are seeking help from Souza Mendes.
That's right.
Sure, gotcha.
So he knows that if he goes directly against his government, this is going to be bad news for him. It's going to be bad news for his family. He would be willfully disobeying a direct order of Circular 14. But he befriended a Polish rabbi named Chaim Hertz Kruger.
Nice.
And he offered visas to this guy and his family. But Kruger was like, you know what? I'm going to turn down this offer because what you really need to do is save everybody that you can. And it was a really sort of monumental moment for Souza Mendes because he was a devout Catholic and this guy was a rabbi. And, you know, they had their mind on the same thing, except the rabbi was just saying, like, be bold. And Souza Mendes was in fear of his life, basically.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, him not listening to the Circular 14 is not... It wasn't like listening or not listening to an order from, like, the Jimmy Carter administration. There was a dictator running the show in Portugal at the time and would continue to run the show until 1970, I believe. So it was a real conundrum that he found himself in. But ultimately, he consulted his own conscience and he said, no, morally, I have to do something. I can't just sit by. And he did. He took the advice of this rabbi and... In Bordeaux, he set up basically an assembly line for stamping and signing any and every visa application into Portugal that was handed to him by anybody. He tried to get as many people safe passage into Portugal as he physically could.
Yeah, and I think given what's going to get minor political here, what's going on in this country today, we should read this quote from Sousa Mendes. I have it all in my hands now to save the many thousands of persons who have come from everywhere in Europe in the hope of finding sanctuary in Portugal. They are all human beings, and their status in life, their religion, or color are altogether immaterial to me.
Yeah.
So let's dwell on that during the message break, and we'll be back right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I hope that that was a everybody got a 60-second mid-roll from the ACLU just now.
So they're running a lot of people through this thing. I mean, like you said, it was like an assembly line, and they were stamping visas. Like, they were running out of stamps. They were stamping visas so fast.
Yeah, there's no way that he didn't get a hand cramp on the rig.
Tens of thousands of people, many thousands of which were Jewish, were granted these visas under his authority. Mm-hmm. And it was later said it was perhaps the largest rescue action by a single individual during the Holocaust. And that includes Oskar Schindler.
That's huge. Yeah, Schindler, I think, was responsible for making sure that 1,200 people successfully escaped the Holocaust. Sousa Mendes was responsible for likely many, many thousands more than that. Like, they've identified so far at least 3,800 recipients from 49 different countries. But they're like, there's thousands and thousands more just from this assembly line that they set up from, I believe, the beginning of May until July, when Bordeaux was overrun by the Nazis and the whole operation was broken up.
So repercussions for sure. July 1940, he was recalled from Bordeaux to face trial. mm-hmm. for insubordination. And he basically says in court, you know what? I answer to God. I would rather stand with God against man than man against God. And he was convinced that he was had a moral defense, and he was right. And he was convinced that the actual Constitution of Portugal prohibited persecution based on religion, mm-hmm. and he was right there as well. But it didn't matter because, like you said, they were living under a dictatorship. And in October of 1940, he was found guilty. He was relieved of his duties and blacklisted by the government for the rest of his life. And very, very sadly, died in 1954 at the Franciscan Hospital for the Poor in Lisbon.
Yes, not penniless. I noticed this article said he was broke.
Oh, did it?
I know how much you dislike the word penniless to describe somebody who dies broke.
I did not see that it said penniless.
There was like, I think in the Tesla episode we did, you were like, oh, I hate that word.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you're like, I'm sure he's got a penny.
I didn't know that he was supposedly didn't have any money, but
yeah, he was broke. I mean, like they broke him. They basically said you're not going to have any more government work.
Sure.
And good luck finding anything but a government work in a bureaucratic dictatorship. So he was blacklisted. He was blackballed, and he died in poverty with his family also taken down with him. You know, like this guy said. And he knew the risk, and he said, I'm going to put all these other families in front of my own family.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're a utilitarian, that makes a lot of sense because even two families are worth more than one family. But still, this is this guy's own family that he's putting under the gun to help all of these others.
Yeah, but he did not regret it. Toward the end of his life, he said, I could not have acted otherwise, and I therefore accept all that has befallen me with love. How's that for a lesson?
It is a great lesson. And now he is typically mentioned along with Oscar Schindler, who is no slouch himself.
No
shade on Schindler and what he did. But I mean, like, Sousa Mendes also deserves a decent amount of credit as well. And slowly but surely, it started to come around. His daughter, Joana Sousa Mendes, really started to beat the drum to revive her father's standing in the world. In 1966, she got a petition approved so that her father would be named a righteous among nations, which is what the Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem, it's an honor that they bestow on non-Jews who went to great lengths and placed themselves at great risk to save people from the Holocaust. So that was a big first step, and that took place in 1966. But they kept going. And then eventually, a daughter from one of the people that he saved directly joined this too.
Yeah, I mean, he was honored a few times. In 87, the U.S. Congress convinced the Portuguese government to officially apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And then after these ancestors of the survivors started coming forward.
Right.
And they started digging these people up and compiled of a list so far, this foundation, the Sousa Mendes Foundation,
mm-hmm.
Which is co-founded by his grandchildren and descendants of the people that he saved, which is just an amazing story.
Yeah.
They've compiled a list of about 3,800 visa recipients in 49 different countries, and they are still on the lookout for more people. It's like this big sort of dispersed family all over the world.
Yeah. And they make the point, too, that not only did he save all these people, you know, this minimum of 3,800, but probably thousands and thousands and thousands more— He directly saved their lives. He also ensured the lives of their offspring who hadn't even been born yet, who are now born and have managed to live, who otherwise wouldn't have lived had it not been this for the direct intervention of this guy.
Amazing.
Yeah. So hats off, Aristide de Sousa Mendes. That's a great name, and you're a great guy.
We do a lot of hats off in these shorties. I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of a celebratory series, isn't it?
Yeah, it here and there is, for sure. Or we talk about just some weird, dumb thing that no one knows about, never understands.
Right. But that's what people like, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, hopefully you like this one. If not, don't tell us, okay? See you later.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.